The following program contains explicit language and graphic depictions of cis-heteronormativity and the patriarchal culture of rape and oppression extrapolated therefrom. Please, don't let your children think any group of people has inherent dominion over another. May we all be innocent again someday. You engage in society. You show your face in public and let perfect strangers judge it. Most of the time, they don't notice you. They have their own faces. They have a zit. You didn't see it. You have your father's nose. You have your mother's gender. You have your own story to tell, and no one wants to hear it. How interesting, they say, waiting their turn to speak. That sounds like tales of insecurity. Hello again. Welcome to Tales of Insecurity, a podcast of postmodern existential horror. Each episode, we examine a topic from a variety of angles without really making a coherent point, or if we do, unmake it as quickly as we can. We hate hard answers here. They are easily disproved. Who are we? In general, it's just me here, Leah Lindsay Chen, your host and curator, the Virgil to your Dante in this realm of the uncomfortable and damned. But we have a special guest this week. I'll introduce him a little bit later, because I hate him, and I want to keep him waiting. So, tell me about yourself. Where do you start when someone prompts you so? If you have interests or hobbies, you might lead with those. You might have decided your job or the place you grew up are the most immediate things about you, and maybe you can hope that those will lead to a conversation that you don't have to control. Or maybe you like talking about yourself and can bloviate on the subject indefinitely. Maybe you blog about your favorite brands of toothpaste and write reviews in the wiki of your favorite deodorant because your insight seems especially keen. Someone does that. Can you imagine? Someone leaves comments under YouTube videos and those are not thoughtful comments. Do you think that they believe their opinion is inherently interesting enough to bear saying, or do you think they're so confident that their positions will be validated that self-censorship doesn't even enter their mind? Or are they afraid of self-censorship and censor that? Do you think they approach every interaction this way?
It's not that there's anything wrong with you. I just don't think I can commit to anyone right now.
Gay, lol, what?
I'm afraid the infection has spread into your lymph nodes, and I'm not a good enough doctor to do anything about that, and I'm about as good as doctors get. I do know a holistic healer who has a slight statistical advantage over doing absolutely nothing.
I have poop in my pants.
But even for these self-aggrandizing savants of the mundane, there are fundamental aspects to their personalities that they will not bring up, because they presume that they are so obvious that even to question them would be insulting.
So yeah, I have a standard number of chromosomes, as far as I know. No obvious genetic mutations. My fingers are prehensile. I'm warm-blooded, I breathe oxygen in the right mixture with other gases so that I don't catch fire or rust or whatever. Science isn't really my background, though I dabble. I'm largely British and Germanic in my ethnic background, so if you're discriminating by race, you're good. Although I am told I had a Cherokee great-grandmother, which I guess means I had a rapist great-grandfather, which I hear was more acceptable back in the day. What else? Oh yes, I'm a woman. It's important to me that you know that.
That's right! It's the moment you've all been waiting for! This week's topic is gender. And I'm joined by the most inexpert of gender specialists, Michael Abbott, my least favorite person in the world.
Hi, thank you for having me.
No. See, Michael stole my identity for many years, so long that even my family still wants to call me by his name. He amassed all this debt that I'm never going to pay off, and his spineless hesitation set me decades behind where I should be in my life. I hate him so much. But he's here to help me talk about gender, even though he knows nothing about it, and as far as I'm concerned, is dead and shouldn't be remembered.
Yeah, I guess that's right.
Just be quiet until I point at you. So what is gender? How does it relate to chromosomes and hormones and genitals? There seems to be at least kind of a correlation there, right?
I'd say so.
Maybe. So there are these roles in society and the way we interact with each other, and maybe once a long time ago, they were largely defined by boundaries of sex and abbreviated to a binary, even though there's a whole range of ways people's bodies can turn up. So there are these bodies, and there are these social roles, but the social roles themselves have nothing to do with any of the primary or secondary characteristics surrounding sexual physicality. And why should they?
Are you saying it's like when two lesbians are married and you ask which one's the husband? Is it like that?
No, nothing is like that.
I'm just trying to understand things.
You're a lost cause.
Why did you bring me here?
So I can berate you, because I hate you.
Oh.
So there's this framework in society that we fit into some way or another, or we don't.
I mean, I don't really feel comfortable as a man, but I don't really think it's something I can do anything about, so I guess I'll just be sad forever.
Think of all the other things you could be sad about if you knew who you were.
Maybe nothing matters. Have you considered that?
No, I have.
So I guess I don't understand why you would go through all the money and effort and social upheaval to make yourself less employable, less standard. I'm already pretty weird, but I'm still essentially socially acceptable.
No, you're not.
Everyone else likes me. You're the only one who thinks there's something wrong with me.
Except for you.
Right.
And all the female friends you drove away because you were obsessed with them, because you wanted to be them.
We don't talk about that. I told you I didn't want to talk about that.
What did you think we would bring up on Tales of Insecurity?
Well, back when I ran the brand, I thought it would be like situational comedies where things didn't work out in the end.
Uh-huh.
I guess that's what yours is, too.
Maybe. But I'm the happy ending of your story.
Gross.
You went to Oberlin College. How did you not learn more about things? How did you not take a gender studies class?
Maybe I don't care about gender. What if you're not really trans, huh? What if I'm cis? What if you went through all that and you didn't even need to? I mean, aren't you dead inside? What difference does it make?
What difference doesn't it make? What have I lost?
I mean, male privilege. Also, any potential for a relationship with your family.
Do you think that was ever on the table?
Maybe if you were someone completely different and validated in society with financial security in a conventional way. Especially academia, they would have loved you as a professor. Oh my god.
So, today we have stories of people who are out of sorts with the ways they are perceived by others. There is a continuum with gender where you try to conform with the way you understand you appear. It is fundamentally a process of adjustment, an element of personal branding dictated by market forces. Why would I put it in such an unappealing way? I'm still looking for a job, I guess, or just a pile of money, or just somewhere to hide. That's what the market has dictated for me.
What are you talking about?
I worry that simply being trans doesn't qualify me as a gender expert.
You know when people say, like, as a woman, this offends me?
Yeah?
Pretty weird, right? How can you compartmentalize your experience like that, not only knowing your essential emotional reaction, but also exactly the component of your identity it comes from?
Do you have components to your personality?
As an idiot, that question offends me.
Thank you for reading the dialogue I wrote for you.
I am a spineless wimp and will do whatever anyone tells me to do. I am unwilling to assert anything that has not already been reinforced by others, and my weak will prevents me from saying or doing anything that hasn't been scripted in some way or another.
It's a shame I had to start taking estrogen to grow a pair.
And how is it that I am such a pussy?
These funny little ironies run throughout our tales of insecurity.
Cisgender, heterosexual, white people. Can you pass me that hammer?
No, sorry. I can't touch those heavy things. I just got my nails done.
Well, surely you can't expect me to pick up my own hammer. I'm not going to bend over. Someone might get the wrong idea.
Sorry, I'm afraid I'm just too delicate.
How am I going to build this deck chair without the proper tools?
You should try talking out your feelings.
No, I have to get this done so I can relax out here with a cold beer later.
You're so big and strong.
Yep.
And I'm so nurturing and supportive, at least on the surface.
And the surface is all I care about.
I love you.
Okay.
Your emotional unavailability gives meaning to my otherwise empty life.
No problem. I'm hungry.
Can I make you some steak, my dear?
Why am I not already eating steak?
I'm so sorry.
I wanted it, so I should have it. What the fuck is wrong with you, woman?
I lost track of time.
I don't want to hear your excuses.
I'll be right back, though I'll think of you the whole time I'm gone.
Really? You probably shouldn't think about much of anything. That's your biggest problem, that you're always thinking.
Yes, my reliance on thought is inherently inferior to your willingness to take action.
You'd be a lot easier to deal with if you were entirely repressed in your emotions like I am.
Yes, but then I wouldn't be a woman.
And that's why I'm attracted to you.
Because of my vagina.
It suits you.
Thank you. I better get your dinner started. But let's be sure to have mechanical missionary sex later, where you come quickly and I have to finish by myself after you go to sleep.
Because your pleasure is completely irrelevant to me.
As it should be.
Oh, hey, bro. What you doing there? Building the deck chair?
Yeah, bro. I'm gonna sit in it later.
Awesome, bro. I should work on my deck too, but Marcy's always having her girlfriends over for bridge and gossip and synchronized menstruation, and I can't be around that.
Dang, bro. Who's the man in your house?
Pretty sure I got the dick, bro.
Let's see that dick, bro.
There it is.
That's a pretty good dick.
Should I help you drive in some nails, bro?
I don't think I need any help.
Wow, bro.
That's right. I got one, too.
Nice.
But seriously, can you pick up that hammer for me?
Pick it up yourself, bro.
Nah, you see, I'm the alpha. See, I'm bigger than you, and I'm not even hard.
Yeah, but like, dude, you're not even hard. Look how hard I am. I am definitely the alpha.
Whatever, bro.
I brought you boys some lemonade. What are you doing?
Sorry, Nancy. We were doing man stuff.
I'm sorry I asked.
And before you start, I'm telling you, you better not have sex with my wife.
Sorry, bro. Can't help it. She's right there.
Dang.
I'm sorry, honey. I'd resist, but my opinion means so little that there's really not much difference whether I consent or not.
But I can still resent you later, right?
Oh yeah, I think it's pretty much inevitable.
Give me that lemonade. Why didn't you bring me a beer?
You told me not to touch your beers because you prefer to drink them alone where I can't judge you.
Like I care about your judgment.
Whew, thank you. That was amazing.
Oh, sure. I'm glad you enjoyed yourself. That makes my emotional turmoil all worth it.
Great, just don't tell my wife.
I'm sorry, I don't think I can make that promise. When we women get together, you know, we just talk and talk.
You can't expect women to have self-control. That's why they need us to take care of them.
Oh well, guess I'm sleeping on the couch tonight.
Serves you right.
Sorry, bro.
All right, boys, I'm going to finish up those steaks for you. Of course, I'm just going to have a salad because I'm a little over 100 pounds today, and if I get much heavier, no one will pay any attention to me.
Yeah, whatever, honey. Let me know when there's food.
Okay, darling. I live for you.
I better get going, see if I can smooth things over with Marcy.
Okay, bro. No hard feelings. Bring it in, man.
Sorry, dude. Can't hug you.
Come on, bro. Don't leave me hanging.
Nah, sorry. I'm a man, and so are you. Did you forget?
Alright, well, I'll see you around.
Brandon? You come out here right now!
Oh shit, gotta go.
Okay, bro. See you later.
Peace, bro.
Brandon, are you here, you piece of shit?
Whoa there. Watch your language, missy.
Blow it out your ass. Have you seen my goddamn two-timing piece of shit husband?
That's really unladylike.
Oh, what? Maybe I shouldn't be talking to you at all without a chaperone, too. Fuck all you shitheads.
Would you mind handing me that hammer?
Sure, what? Sure, whatever.
Thanks.
So is my husband here or not? I haven't got all day.
Oh, sorry. You just missed him.
Motherfucker.
But don't be too hard on him. That's just how things are.
Are you serious? Are you not mad that he violated your wife's consent right in front of you? Don't you have any chivalry? What are you doing? Get your fucking hands off me.
I'm sorry.
Jesus Christ, what is wrong with you people?
You know, I'm a man and you're a woman. I just thought...
What did you think?
I mean, I think you're very attractive. Isn't that enough? You're not one of those feminists, are you? I've heard something about that. You know, Brandon works really hard to put a roof over your head. You should show him some respect. Now, maybe Brandon's not enough of a man to put you in your place, but if you were my wife, I'd tell you what I'd do.
You finished?
Yeah.
Cool. Let me make something clear to you. I don't really give a shit about what my husband does. I know that he's a big, stupid animal with no self-control.
No, men are the ones with self-control. We just have very strong urges.
I know that men are big, stupid animals with no self-control, but oh well, it's not like I can marry a woman who shares my interest and reciprocates my emotional labor.
Yeah, that's absurd.
And I know that if Brandon took interest in me and listened to my concerns, he would basically be a woman.
Yuck.
Yeah, so I understand that he's going to cheat on me, whatever. But your wife called me in tears, telling me that she'd never felt more distant from you, that you did nothing to defend her from my husband's advances.
I told him not to.
Look, I don't know what your deal is, and I don't care, but if you're going to treat your wife like a second-class citizen, you've at least got to take care of her. Dinner's ready. Oh, hi, Marcy. Nancy, hi, are you okay?
Oh, yes, I'm fine. Not in front of my husband.
All right, well, I'm going to go tear Brandon's spine out through his mouth.
Okay, good luck.
Whew, she's a handful, huh?
I can't believe you.
What?
Did you even try to make whoopee with her?
Just a little, but she wasn't interested.
I can't believe you. I thought I married a man.
Honey, I'm sorry.
Don't even talk to me until you're ready to drink too much and make me fear for my life.
It's just so much effort. Can you just leave me alone so I can finish my deck chair? Honey, don't cry. God damn it. Women, why do I even bother?
That's more like it. Oh, honey, you had me scared there for a minute.
You disgust me.
Isn't it comforting to know that we are so inherently repulsive to one another that we'll never be tempted to question whether the other's identity has any elements worth incorporating?
I don't know what you're talking about, but I'm not really interested enough to clarify.
Because we have no respect for each other. Oh, darling, I couldn't be happier.
That was a little risque. Sorry for the abrupt ending, I just had to stop it. Is that really the society we live in? Phew. I did not mean for that to be so rapey. I am so sorry. Please write to me and complain about it so I can feel justified in my self-loathing and the PTSD I have inflicted on myself. TalesofInsecurity@gmail.com or on Twitter @NoHopeRadio. Speaking of, now it's time for the part of our show where we answer listener mail. I love this. I don't have to write anything. I don't have to worry that my satire is too on the nose or do any funny voices or edit them in the different channels so people can tell I'm voicing different characters. It is a relief. So, let's take a look. Okay, our first message here says, Return Payment Notification. Dear Leah Lindsay Chen, we are writing to let you know that a payment you recently made was returned unpaid by your financial institution. Please make a payment to replace the returned amount below as soon as possible. See below for easy, free ways to pay. These are the details of the return payment. Return amount, $856.27. Return date, 2/6/2018. Return reason, insufficient fund. Blah, blah. Return reason, insufficient funds, ways to pay, etc. Great. Well, thank you for listening to the podcast. I would love to make that payment. As soon as I have $856.27, you will be the first to know. Had a couple interviews this week. Don't think I got the jobs. I've been to a lot of interviews, though, and I feel it's only a matter of time until someone finds my whole nervous personality thing charming instead of off-putting. Someone's going to realize that my unease is an asset, that I'm on edge because I'm thinking about the people around me. I'm considerate, I'm kind, and I'm really eager to make a good impression on the people around me and make them happy. I'm deferential. I'm submissive. I'm completely willing to debase myself however necessary. Surely that will be an asset to any company that isn't immediately put off by my bulging masculine nose. They don't have to tell you why they don't hire you, but I'm almost certain at least a few have been because I'm trans. But it's not a protective class, and they're allowed to discriminate, really. It's My fault for being so tall. Let's see, we've got a few more like that one. Great. Your Chase Visa statement is here. Okay, fine. Message from your credit union. Great. Okay, great. None of these are strongly worded messages telling me how misplaced my efforts are in trying to make something artistic and honest, so that's nice. Let's take a look at iTunes, see if anyone's left us any reviews. Okay, so there's just one. Oh, hey, look, 5 stars. Nice. It's from L. Lindsay Chen. It says, "Am I allowed to leave this review? I feel like it might be kind of an affront to my personal brand to come in here and leave a 5-star review, especially since I wince in pain every time I hear the host stumble over her words or try to disguise her voice, but the self-deception that lets one tell oneself that the thing they worked on is the best thing in the world definitely fits into the landscape of quiet desperation where I have pitched my tent. Just as I lie to myself every day that I'm basically fine so I can get out of bed, so can I repeat assurances that I made a good podcast better than all the other podcasts. This is the podcast I've chosen to be." Well, thank you very much, Miss Lindsay Chen. I really appreciate that feedback. I'll try to keep this episode up to the same high standards as the first, but I can't make any promises. Let's see, what else? Oh, I finally got this Christmas card from my parents. We never really did Christmas, so it's notable. Let's see, they sent me $300. That's really nice. They didn't need to do that. Drop in the bucket, really. I'm grateful for it. Thank you. Right. Here we go. The card says, "May the spirit of this glorious season bring you joy and everlasting peace." Written underneath in my mother's handwriting, "Love, Mom and Dad. I hope you find the enclosed useful. Dad still thinks your transformation is completely crazy. He might feel more understanding if you communicate a little more. Call him once in a while, respond to his calls. Joy and lasting peace seem a little elusive with asshole Republicans running the country and people who think they are more Christian than anyone else supporting their cruel, bigoted agenda. Mom." Alright, so there's a lot to respond to in there. Let's see. God damn it. God fucking damn it. How can I call when that's going to be the conversation? Lord have fucking mercy. Why are you still going to church if that's the community where you're going to church with? Why would you do that? And if you're going to go there, why wouldn't you... Why wouldn't you stand up and speak to them in pride about your trans daughter who is doing her best to take care of her disabled partner and take care of herself with what little resources she has, who has finally taken action to take control of her life rather than let the forces of misery and mediocrity win? Go ahead. Play this podcast for the members of your church. Let them know my honesty and forthrightness. I am not going to let shame dictate my actions anymore. Can you hear me? Are you listening? Mom? Dad? Anyone? I don't care if you're listening. I don't care if you fellowship with my worst enemies in your racially, culturally homogenous church down there in the Tennessee Valley. That's fine. I'm just going to do my own thing over here, and it's all fine. I'm fine. I have my own religion. I am my own person. Let me share that religion with you. Let's have some cosmology in the house. First Church of Tales of Insecurity. In the beginning, there was nothing. This went on literally forever. Still there is nothing, but it is a nothing somewhat more robust than it used to be. At a certain point, God, who is not yet called God, took some of the nothing and turned it into nothing else, and it was fine. It was essentially the same nothing that was there before, spread out a little maybe. The new nothing was so similar to the old that God, who had yet to form a name or identity or memory, had difficulty contrasting them. In time, God had forgotten that anything had ever been different, and went through the same process of forced inspiration as before. God gave nothing weight and mass and volume, and everything was hydrogen. When two pieces of hydrogen pressed very close together, they became helium, which was something entirely different from the other nothing, kind of. They are both transparent gases, but as the only two substances in the universe, God had to assign value to them to keep them separate. Hydrogen, with its immense reactivity and potential for reproduction, was deemed female, and helium, with its innate stability and overall inertness, was deemed male. God was pleased by this binary, and decided that since she was the first element of anything, she would call herself female.
She was the source of all nothing, and all nothings that came into being passed from her void into the void that wasn't her, which she deemed male. Anything with potential to grow into something else was female. Anything that would not adjust was male. She had to keep these labels at the front of her mind to keep them straight. She was somehow the same as hydrogen, and everything else was male and helium, until three bits of her formed something else, which molded with other parts of her, and she had to decide in each case whether the objects were male, female, or something else entirely. Before too long, this process had gotten too convoluted, and she decided to start over. She started with a blank canvas and assembled an earth where life would happen, and called it female, and an immense, endless expanse of infinite nothing, which she called heaven and male. For a few billion years, she took a look at the Earth and tried to make it into the sort of Earth she always wanted to live on. But because she was rather new to the ideas of wanting and living, she kept getting distracted by new projects which seemed more interesting at first, until she actually took a look at them. All those stars, they're nice to look at from a distance, but she kind of went star crazy for a little while. How did that even happen? I suppose you try to fill whatever space you live in. She returned to Earth, the volatile, molten mass of heat and moisture that she really had faith in, and she wondered if maybe the endless, melted volcanic rock wasn't the best direction for it. She decided to cool it down a little, see what that looked like. She formed the land and the oceans. The oceans were female. The land was female, too. The things that swam within the oceans were female. The beasts that dwelled upon the land were female. All things were flexible, in flux, full of future. God saw a world of choices in front of her and wasn't sure what to do next. Everything around her had so much potential that they could become anything. As she tried to compute where these possibilities were headed, she grew tired and rested. She returned to the heavens. She created for herself a sterile throne in an empty palace where everything would remain as it was for all eternity. She created angels, all male, who would remind her of her schedule and do exactly as they were told. She told some of the angels to criticize her decisions, and they did exactly as commanded, though she didn't like that descent as much as she thought she was going to. She couldn't really blame them. As the source of all things, she couldn't blame anyone. God decided to destroy everything and start again. She returned the universe to a shape without size and made every decision she had made before. She created heaven and earth and oceans and land and her crystal palace of nowhere. She made the angels and the angels she didn't want. She banished them again. She regretted it again. She returned to Earth, which had blossomed without her input. It was full of mold and bugs and other gross things that she never would have decided on had she been paying attention. But this intrigued her, that things would happen in this realm that were out of her control, because in heaven, nothing happened without her intention. She decided to stay here a while, see what she could learn. She watched new life form all the time, an age of alligators, an age of turtles, an age of dragons, an age of birds. Fish were doing fine all the time. Maybe fish were the point of all this. As from the beginning, she wondered if any of this was going somewhere. She had not yet invented three-act structure, and could not conceive of a story with an ending, but also, without an idea of conclusion, existence seemed like a series of lists, just one object after another. After many eons had gone by, she noticed a creature on the Earth that looked rather like herself. She approached it, staring as she always did as she examined nature. The creature stared back. It waved. God was somewhat taken aback by this gesture, as most life on the planet ignored her. "Hi," the creature said. "You look like me. I call myself Lilith. What are you called?" "Oh, me," God said. "I'm just whatever you are. What are we, anyway?" "I don't know," said Lilith. "I'm Lilith. I'm just here. That's really all I know about it." "Do you know what here is? Do you know anything about it?" "No, it seems fine. I guess if we're the same thing, we're supposed to reproduce with each other, right?" "Yes, I think that's how it works. I'm just trying to figure things out as I go along." And God knew Lilith. She learned from Lilith. She learned to hunt and gather fruits. She learned to prepare food and clothing, which was useful for dealing with changes in temperature. She learned about temperature, which had never been something she thought about, but as she became acquainted with the idea of comfort, it was essential. And God loved Lilith. She constructed ever more elaborate vegetations for her benefit, new delicate flowers that she could wear in her hair for no other reason than that they looked good. Lilith often did things for no reason, without shame, just for the sensation of them. God gave Lilith fire, and invented tools to make her efforts less laborious, and eventually her own angel, so that the two of them could enjoy each other without distraction. Lilith called the angel Adam. God smiled. Lilith loved naming things. She talked to her angel.
So, I was told that you're here to serve me and follow my commands, but that doesn't seem fair. I want you to treat me as an equal. We're all in this together.
Equals,
Adam said. He repeated the word several times. He understood it. God and Lilith often bathed together in a hot spring underneath an apricot tree. They fed each other fruit and touched their bodies together, exploring what they meant. Adam, having finished his wood chopping, came into the pool with them.
Oh, hello, God said. Is everything finished?
Don't talk to him like a slave. He's one of us.
I did my third. You two can finish up.
Oh, all right, said Lilith. That's fair.
No, darling, don't go. I can take care of everything in a moment.
If you can do that, why would you make me go through all that effort? My back is killing me. You hate me.
No, honey, no. No one hates you.
You do.
No, honey, no. No one hates you.
You do.
No, no. It's just that God and I have our own relationship, and it's different than the one you and I have.
But that's not fair. You said we were equals.
Listen here, you little rodent. I made you. I have created and destroyed whole cosmos infinitely more complex and terrifying than you can imagine. I know, because I created your imagination.
Don't talk to him like that. He's new to this world and trying to figure it out. You were new once.
I am timeless and immortal.
Even so.
And so, God waited with Adam in the pool while Lilith chopped wood. They did not touch each other. They did not feed each other fruit. God stared at the man with her most damning expression, but Adam didn't seem to notice. He tried to grab an apricot from a branch that was just a bit too high. Hours later, Lilith returned from her chores. She had finished the whole load and had prepared dinner and tidied up as well.
Sorry, I was just on a roll. It's getting late. Why don't we just eat and go to sleep?
They divided their meat and vegetables into three equal portions, though Adam complained that his had a bone in it, and so it didn't count. He demanded that the other two give him a little of theirs. God gave him her whole portion. It was his now. When they went to bed, he crawled up beside them. His hairy, sweaty body felt too close for God, even with Lilith in between them. She backed away. God wanted to talk to Lilith about Adam, but he was always so close by. He felt inadequate compared to them, and he was, but Lilith always heard his complaints and tried to ease his troubled mind.
You're doing great, don't worry. I love you as much as I love God, maybe even more, because you need my love. God doesn't. She would be fine without me.
Do you mean that?
I do.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
Yes, I do. I love you, you silly goose.
And God heard this conversation, and God found it obnoxious. She regretted having created Adam, but Lilith had grown too attached to the useless angel, and God had grown too attached to Lilith to harm her in any way. She returned to her crystal palace, certain that Lilith would be fine without her, that the two of them would manage fine in idyllic ignorance. She wanted to destroy the universe again and start fresh, but each time this thought entered her mind, she remembered Lilith and stopped herself. She wanted to rot the earth from the inside. She wanted to tear down the forest and fill them in with rock. She wanted to cloud its atmosphere with helium and radon and all the other male pointless gases. She wanted to destroy everything, and slowly this time. But she remembered Lilith, who wouldn't have liked what she was thinking. God needed Lilith. God hadn't made Lilith. God wasn't sure that Lilith would form again. She returned to Earth. She found Adam, who was carving some figure out of wood with his knife.
Oh, hey God. How are you? Haven't seen you in a while.
I'm immortal and invincible. I'm fine. Where's Lilith?
Oh, you know, it's the darndest thing. We had a little fight the other night because I wanted to reproduce and she didn't, but that didn't seem fair to me, so we got into a little fight and before I knew it, she wasn't moving anymore. So I guess I need another woman. Can you get me another woman?
And God had no feeling. God was silent for a long time. She would soon be silent again, and remain silent. She was nothing. She had created nothing. And now, finally, she had purpose in her life. Of course, of course! Have another woman. I've got lots. Although, I'm going to have to tear her out of your chest. There's really not any other way. And God smiled. She had an ending to her story.
Welcome back to Tales of Insecurity. I am sorry this episode has been so dark. Let's take a little break from all this sadness. Let's have a guided meditation. Try closing your eyes if you can, and concentrate on your breathing. Feel all the worries of the day fading away. Become fully aware of your body. You're made of clouds. You're floating away, leaving your aching husk of awkward flesh behind. You have a beautiful body entirely consistent with your gender identity. You're losing that weight you wanted. You're beautiful and kind. Everyone likes your podcast. Your perspective isn't alienating. You're popular within certain demographics. Someone will hear you when you speak. Someone can hear you. Breathe in. Breathe out. Breathe in. Feel yourself leave this weary world behind. Forget about your debts, the credit card bills you've accumulated with no assets to show for them. You're employable, for now at least. You haven't wasted your life. You are proficient in the Microsoft Office suite. You seek to provide stellar customer service in a competitive environment. You're good under pressure. You've seen profits increase 34% in your tenure, but you're looking for something that feels more like a career. Now breathe out. Breathe in. Feel a renewed sense of confidence that you are deciding to forge your own path. You've been hiding in obscurity for years because you've been waiting for permission. Breathe out. Whose permission have you been waiting for? Whose permission would even matter? Breathe in. Don't forget to breathe. Breathe out. You've been forgetting, haven't you? Breathe out. You don't need permission to breathe. You can do it on your own. Breathe out. Now breathe out. Breathe out. Now breathe out. Feel the air leave your body. You are now empty. Now breathe out. Breathe in. Remember, you're going to be fine. Nothing bad is going to happen to you. Breathe out. You've been having trouble breathing. The terrible job you took to leave your last terrible job gave you asthma and allergies and made you incredibly frail. But you still have something. Breathe in. Hold on to that thing you have left. Don't articulate what it is. Breathe out. These things always work out in the end, people say. Breathe in. Everything happens for a reason. Breathe out. The concept of karma is not inherently problematic and ableist and apologetic to the ruling class. It means your misfortune meant something. Breathe in. If your misfortune didn't mean anything, then why did you bother having it? Why didn't you do something earlier? Breathe out. Who were you trying to impress? Feel all the negative energy leaving your body. Remember, you have a body. You are not just a consciousness floating in ether. You have to eat and breathe and piss and shit and sweat and a lot of other gross things just to be alive. Forget the burden of being alive. Don't blame your parents. Don't resent the podunk homogenous mountain towns where you grew up for lowering your expectations. In the end, the blame is all squarely on you. Breathe in. Breathe out. Breathe in. Breathe out. When you were presenting male, your family resented you for being too girly. Breathe in, breathe out. Now that you're presenting female, they can't accept that either. Breathe in, forget the temper tantrum your dad had when you admitted you were depressed in high school and how discouraging that was to saying anything more substantial ever again. Breathe out. Forget how many people depend on your dad for emotional support and the irony of his pigheadedness as far as you're concerned. Breathe in. You are not defeated. You are strong. Breathe out. Your mother accepts you. You can tell because she now treats you the way her abusive mother treated her. Breathe in. You don't need anyone's approval. You will not get anyone's approval. Breathe out. But not because I told you to. Breathe if you want to breathe.
You will not give up. You will do the things that you can do that no one else can. You will do the things that you can do that no one else values. You will not be like the hardworking immigrants that prop up all the businesses around you for minimal wages and limited benefits. You're white enough that you look white, and you can take advantage of that and your vaguely European accent. You're so charming. Everyone loves how white you are. Everyone who knows you loves you. Almost no one knows you. Even longtime friends can't read your expressions or your body language. You're full of surprises. You don't need to be known. You just need to breathe. Everything is fine. Feel the weight of the world leaving your body. Feel the hopelessness of each passing day leave you and stop worrying so much. You're broke. You're broken. So what? Relax. Anxiety serves no evolutionary purpose for an individual. Its whole purpose is to weed you out of society. You don't need anxiety anymore. You're already there. Just breathe. Do what you need to do. Now open your eyes. Relax, goddamn you. Forget your troubles and pop the top of a nice cold Coca-Cola. No matter how bad things get for you, Coca-Cola will be in business, providing fizzy sweetness to the world at large. You can barely get out of bed, but if you can wrap your lips around the top of an aluminum cylinder, you can take an extra minute and forget the stares and derision you receive from the world at large. Ah, breathe in that Coca-Cola, your only responsibility. Now breathe out. All right. I feel better. How about you?
Jesus, I didn't realize you had such an issue with our parents.
No, that wasn't about me. I was just speaking in general. I'm not... They have their own life, separate from mine. They're still there in the mountains, going to church and AA with all the right Republicans, and that's fine.
Why are they still going to church? Didn't your dad retire from the ministry?
I guess it's just what they do. I don't know what they get out of it, but I never did.
I guess without it, they'd just be completely isolated.
I don't think that would bother them. You know, my sweetie and I went down there last year and I made them some nice meals, so much nicer than what they usually eat, because I wanted them to meet my partner of 5 years, my sweetie, my fiancé, my soulmate. But they just ate and dispersed to their own corners of the house. It was fine. I don't know what I expected.
I used to do that too.
You should move in with them. You could hide in the moldy basement. You'd be the least alive thing there.
You should save all of this for an episode on family. That definitely seems like an episode.
I'm having an episode.
Why don't we just move on to the next thing?
I don't have anything else. We should just end early.
I might have something. I mean, it's not polished or anything, but I have been working on a little TV pilot screenplay thing.
Really? That's so interesting. I'm dying to read it.
Yeah? I mean, I can pull it up if you want.
Sure, you know, I was being incredibly sarcastic, but maybe you don't have enough estrogen to glean nuances of intonation and facial expression.
No, I got it. And actually, I don't think that's what estrogen does.
Oh my god, kill me.
I've tried.
Go get your script.
All right, okay. Stall for me. I'm gonna print it out.
All right, I could just stop recording for a little. It's not like we're live. If you're really into the verisimilitude of the fact that I'm not writing a shitty, patronizing script and attributing it to you, that's fine. But it still seems kind of a waste of everyone's time. Are you sure you want that on your conscience?
Jesus Christ, we can just read it off the screen.
So what's the point of the script? Tell me what it's about.
Okay, so it follows the story of a young and talented screenwriter trying to get his first movie made. But even though he's a genius, he's inept at life and love. I know it sounds like it's been done to death, but trust me, I bring a unique perspective to it.
I'm going to die.
We don't have to read it if you don't want to.
No, I want to. I can't wait.
No, I think you'll be pleasantly surprised.
Catherine, can you come help us with this?
I'm sorry?
Do you mind reading the stage directions in this? I think I need you to really do this thing justice.
If you insist.
Thanks, everyone. If you're new to Tales of Insecurity, this is Catherine. She's kind of the producer of our show, I guess. She's the voice of disapproval I keep around to keep my ego in check. It's kind of an unnecessary precaution, but I like to err on the side of safety. She's like Catherine Hepburn and Maggie Smith and my Chinese grandmother, the venerable Lady Lindsay of Berkerix, a little bit younger and less admirable, because unlike those people, she doesn't have any kind of talent or harrowing journey behind her derision.
Was that explanation really necessary?
I'm sorry, I like to be thorough.
About some things?
I try. Okay, here we go. The Gift of the Magi by Michael Abbott.
I thought I had a better chance of getting something produced if it had a Christmas theme. I don't think there's been a good adaptation of The Gift of the Magi yet.
I see. But what does that story have to do with the plot you described?
Why don't we just read it and see?
Here on Tales of Insecurity.
The Gift of the Magi by Michael Abbott. Adapted from a short story by O. Henry. Exterior, wasteland, 2057, night. The city is in ruins. Bits and pieces of various skyscrapers are everywhere, and the skyline is low and uneven. The tallest building in the vista is a single Starbucks, which operates normally. Interior, Starbucks, night. At every table and every seat, men and women in business professional outfits are sipping their coffees peacefully, concentrating fully on the aroma. They do not read paper. They do not work on their laptops. They are here for coffee. There is still an open laptop, though. At the far corner of the room, a young man, Matthew, dressed in old floppy clothes, types furiously.
Would you like a refill on your coffee, sir?
No, thank you. Actually, yes. I need all the energy I can get.
That's what we're here for. What are you working on there?
Oh, this is nothing. I'm just updating my resume.
Oh, okay. For a second there, I thought you were working on a screenplay.
Matthew looks at her thoughtfully.
No, of course not. I don't even have a license to write screenplays, and we all know that writing screenplays without a license is a capital offense.
I know that. I studied law at Princeton.
Oh, really? What are you doing here, then?
Well, you know, now that court cases are all decided by computers, there's not really much to do. This is really the center of the community.
I see. Why don't you sit down with me a minute? I'd love to take a break.
Sorry, I need to get back to work.
Give me 5 minutes.
What can you do in 5 minutes?
Whatever you like.
Interior, barista's apartment day. Matthew and the barista, Rhonda, lie in bed shirtless after a night of passion.
You're not half bad.
What about the other half?
Don't push it.
Rhonda pulls out a cigarette.
Do you have a lighter? I sold mine to buy this pack of cigarettes.
No, sorry, I developed asthma so I could quit smoking.
I'm sorry, is this how the script is an adaptation of The Gift of the Magi?
Just keep reading, it'll make sense later. It's motivic.
All right, sure. Did you really develop asthma on purpose?
Sometimes we need a little extra motivation, you know what I mean?
Not really.
It's okay. I'm kind of used to not being understood.
How's your screenplay coming?
I'm having trouble moving the characters along. They seem like broad pastiches of their genders. Hey, wait a minute.
I knew it! You are working on a screenplay!
No, I'm not. I gave it up. There is no media but state-sponsored media.
Don't worry. I'm not going to turn you in. But I don't think I can see you anymore.
She gets out of bed and stares out the window, taking the bedsheet with her. It drapes around her form artfully.
But Rhonda, I know we just met, but I feel a real connection with you.
He stands up behind her and comes to the window. He wraps his arms around her shoulders, sharing the view with her of empty fields of debris.
It's strangely beautiful, isn't it?
What, the end of the world?
Isn't it neat that we get to see the end of history? Maybe in a few billion years some other sapient race will find relics of a fallen civilization. We will be the lost continent. We will be Atlantis, the ancients. They'll venerate our technology and wonder how we squandered our potential.
So, the beginning of history.
I'm sorry?
All we'll have is our end. Everything else has been destroyed. What they will have is now, and that will be their foundation if any of it lasts. What excites me is that we'll be forgotten, just a little blip in the cosmos. That's going to be such a relief. We didn't cause any permanent damage.
I'm sorry, is this going anywhere?
What?
Does anything happen in the screenplay, or is it just pillow talk about genre fiction?
Maybe you don't understand it. It's pretty sophisticated.
Yeah, maybe it's a little over my head.
Can we stop arguing and get this over with?
If you two don't like what I've written, you're welcome to put something of your own out there.
I'm sorry. I'll just read it.
Thank you.
Wow, Matthew, you're so complicated and interesting. You have such original thoughts, but no one's ever going to know them.
It's a problem when you're a genius. No one can understand you.
How do you know you're not wrong? You could be a genius, or you could be a complete idiot. And how would you know?
I guess I don't. But if I'm an idiot, I guess it doesn't matter what I do.
Oh, Matthew, you're so cute.
What can I say?
A loud knock on the door.
Okay, who's doing this voice?
Okay, I'll do it.
Okay, it's fine. Okay, how are you gonna do it?
Please. Open up, this is the police. We know about the screenplay. This is your last warning. Get up your laptop or face immediate execution.
What kind of an accent is that?
I think I was going for Scottish?
Irish is the complex.
Oh, right, okay. Open up, this is the police. We know about the screenplay. This is your last warning. Give up your laptop or face immediate execution.
Yikes!
Yikes, really? Don't panic, we're going to be fine.
Yikes! You don't know that! Oh, damn it. I knew I shouldn't have gotten involved with a writer.
You have to the count of 10 to open this door, Lassie.
Oh, God. What's in that screenplay anyway?
It's about the truth. That's all I can say.
Be honest with me. Is it good? Could it have an effect on this dreary world? Could it inspire the masses to rise up and live again?
Absolutely.
Then you finish that screenplay.
She hands him the laptop and opens the window.
We don't have much time. You won't be able to get dressed, but oh, then you won't be able to get service.
It's okay. I've been without service before.
Be brave, my dear. I'll try to buy you some time.
They kiss. She pushes him out the window as the police burst in.
Oh, hello, officers. What seems to be the trouble?
We see the power cord of Matthew's laptop still plugged into the wall. Exterior, Rhonda's apartment, day. A half-naked Michael runs through buildings chased by antagonists he cannot see.
Oh, that should say Matthew.
Why does it say Michael?
It's just a typo.
Is this how you feel, Mr. Abbott, that society is trying to keep you from expressing yourself?
Now what are you saying?
Nothing you don't already know.
You know, I think I'm done with this. Let's not read this anymore.
Oh, we're gonna keep reading.
It needs some editing, I understand. I'm not entirely happy with it.
Catherine, please continue.
All right. He runs through a clothesline and comes out the other side, clutching a halter top and matching skirt.
And I guess you're going to try to make something out of that, too.
I'm not saying anything. We're just reading your script.
He quickly dresses himself and walks back to the clothesline, picking up a scarf to hide his face. The color doesn't quite go with the other bits of his ensemble, so he searches through the laundry for something more appropriate. Just as he's finished wrapping his head, an officer approaches.
Excuse me, ma'am. We're looking for a suspect in the screenwriting case. Have you seen a suspicious-looking gentleman run by here carrying a laptop?
No, I'm sorry, officer. No gentleman here.
Thank you for the trouble, ma'am.
Happy to oblige a good-looking officer like you.
Oh, thank you very much. You flatter me.
I'm sorry, I'm a little confused who's doing which voice here.
What do you mean?
Well, it sounds like you're trying to do my voice for your character.
But isn't that always what you're doing?
What do you mean?
Isn't Leah, you, just me doing your voice with a little makeup, hair, and wardrobe?
Yeah, I take some hormones, too.
You can make fun of me all you want, Leah, but you'll never be rid of me.
Please, let's just finish reading. I want to see where this is going.
Your head still perks up anytime you hear my name like it's yours. You respond to it.
Interior. Rhonda's apartment. Day.
So you say that a screenwriter was here? No, that's impossible. I thought they were all rounded up.
I'm afraid there are still a few left.
Suspect found. He was trying to hide in women's clothing.
Hiding in women's clothing? Isn't that the most ridiculous thing you can think of?
So I'm guessing she brings him the power cord, but he sold his computer to pay for something not yet revealed in the script?
Yeah, something like that. It's not important.
Does the screenplay ever get produced into a movie?
No, he wasn't really writing anything. He just wanted to seem like a rebel. It was the easiest way in an oppressive society.
I never should have invited you here.
I'm always available. I'm always right here.
I know. I know.
And you'll never be away from me.
I know.
We can read the rest later. I think you seem pretty done right now.
Thank you.
For what it's worth, you are a lot better looking than I am.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to Tales of Insecurity. I think Leah needs a little girl power hip-hop. We got anything like that? Okay, great. Thank you for listening, everyone. Leah's a real woman, don't forget. Like that means anything. You're beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. Have a great night, everyone. Thank you. All right. I'm Michael Abbott. This has been Tales of Insecurity.
And I'm Leah Lindsay Chen, your host.
All right. Take care, everyone. Good night.
Thank you for the invitation, happy to be here at last. Ready to regain the station, happy to forget the past. Once upon a time I thought that I could be the ruling class. Now I'm happy to report that
I've got nothing.
Wasn't able to pretend that I was who I ought to be. Tried my best, but now it's over. So, now I'm me.
My old life aside, in the blink of an eye, some tell me I'm a spy, but that's quite a surprise. I'm just a girl on the run with a bulge in my thighs. I don't think that you're a kinkle, so why should I be shy? We've got to stand together if we're gonna get by. So from your ivory tower, take a look at the sky. There's a man up there who wants to die. Maybe we should tell him that that shit won't fly.
All the ladies in the house say hey, hey, hey. All the men in the house say I'm a piece of trash. All the ladies in the house say oh, oh. All the men. Why don't you shut up, different ones? All the ladies in the house say hey. All the men in the house say whatever you want. All the ladies in the house say ho. All the men in the house.
Who are you talking to? Seemed a little defensive before. I don't want to seem like I'm trying to be anything more than the person I am down here on the floor. I wasn't born on your turf, so I'll knock on the door. Let's fight the revolution. I don't want to be demure. I'm feminine in my own way and absolutely sure that everything I stand for is girly to its core. Mankind is a disease and transitioning is the cure.
All the ladies in the house say hey, hey, hey. All the men in the house say I'm a piece of trash. All the ladies in the house say oh, oh. All the men in the house. Why don't you shut up just for once? All the ladies in the house say hey. All the men in the house say whatever you want. All the ladies in the house say ho. All the men in the house.
Okay, sure, whatever.
All the ladies in the house say hey. All the men in the house say I'm a piece of trash. All the ladies in the house say ho. All the men in the house. Why don't you shut up just for once? All the ladies in the house say hey. All the men in the house say whatever you want. All the ladies in the house say ho. All the men in the house
say nothing.
Okay, everyone. I'm back and I'm not gone yet. I'm gonna try this thing that I tried to do before, where I end with a little 5 minute, you know, type five, because. I messed it up last time because I thought that I could just improvise a stand-up comedy routine. I don't know where I got that idea. Improvisers don't even do that. they have something they're responding to, either each other or an audience, and I'm all by myself here. I am all by myself. It's not like I'm cool and charismatic and level-headed or confident, so I don't know what I was thinking. So instead, I prepared a little. I wrote it all out. I wrote everything out, even this part right here where it kind of sounds like I'm kind of stumbling over my words, like this part here, where it sounds like I'm stalling for time when I think of the next thing I'm trying to say. It's naturalistic, like David Mamet or something. I studied writing in college. I'm educated. Okay, so, give me an intro.
All right, ladies, gentlemen, and non-binaries, please give a warm welcome to your friend and mine, the talented, the lovely... Do you really want me to say all that? Okay, sure, I just... It seems like overcompensating, you know? They're going to want to challenge that. They're going to be looking for any evidence that you're not lovely, not talented. All right, it's your funeral. The lovely and talented Miss Leah Lindsay Chen.
All right, thank you. You're beautiful. Hi there. My name is Leah. Yes, that is a Hebrew name. No, I am not Jewish. I am circumcised, but not enough. Yes, that's right. You got a girl up here with a penis. What are you going to do about it? We got any hecklers in the crowd tonight? Go ahead and get it out now. I've heard them all. Anyone? All right. Phew. I haven't actually heard them all. I was bluffing. Actually, everyone's been really nice since my transition, at least to my face. I worry that it might be a lingering specter of male privilege, but you know, I'll take it. I promise, that is all the masculinity I have left. And the penis. Maybe my voice, a little bit, from time to time. But I think I'm looking pretty good. I think I'm good. I pass. Every time I see a new doctor, they ask me when my last cycle was, and I have to explain to them that I've got just the lowest maintenance genitals possible. People with vaginas have to buy all these products, and most penis people have to jerk it constantly, right, guys? How many of you guys are jerking it right now? My shriveled little lady balls tuck in quite nicely, and I can almost forget they're there. Just some petite little dried prunes curled up in cellulite. Okay, now how many are still jerking it? Great. I don't usually think about whatever's going on down there, but I know cis people really love to hear about genitals. This is all for you. Really, aside from never experiencing sexual pleasure, I've got a pretty good deal going. I can jog comfortably. I don't get sweaty. Totally worth it. You're not missing anything, the intake person at the emergency room said the other day when I told her about my lack of vagina. Yeah, I'm really grateful that I can't ever have children and that I'm always afraid someone's going to attack me in public restrooms, gyms, the South. I like hearing politicians accusing me of sex crimes when I can't even commit sex not crimes. That diatribe boosts my confidence. Cool. People are afraid of me. Maybe they'll get out of my way. I didn't say any of that. I said, thank you. She probably has endometriosis. I don't want to berate her. She was being friendly, trying to save face. But, you know, transgender people do experience a lot of discrimination, real discrimination, lots of it. Even at the Whole Foods, which you'd expect to be a bastion of open-mindedness, they had a sign outside specifically forbidding our entry. No trans fats, it said, like it was a point of pride for them. Just out of spite, I went in and bought some ice cream. Nobody said a word. Sorry, I guess I'm a bit too svelte for that joke. Kind of offensive to the real trans fats, who hate to be called that. Have you guys heard of this intersectionality thing? What's up with that? So cis white women, they drive like this. Cis white men, they're always driving like this. Now trans black women, they drive like this. And Chinese non-binary AFABs, they drive in this complete other way. This routine is probably a bit too visual for the folks at home, and maybe a little esoteric. Sorry if you feel alienated, but, you know, welcome to my world. Get cozy. There's no way out except this door that was made only for you, and now I'm going to close it. You like that Kafka reference? Listen. I went to Oberlin College, supposedly one of the most woke campuses in the whole Midwest, and that includes Indiana. Oberlin was probably the most supportive place I could have chosen to transition, but no. I had to wait another 10 years. I had to wait until I had absolutely nothing to lose because I thought that I would be a pariah, a complete social outcast, if I even dared to think that I was anything other than the idealistic, kind, compassionate, all-American boy. When that guy became a complete social outcast, then it was fine.
Thing is, how many idealistic, kind, compassionate boys do you know? I know women can be catty, they can cut you down in ways that linger the rest of your life, but even that comes from a place of empathy. They get to know you, they evaluate you, they have to care about you just enough to get that secret piece of ammunition that cuts you to your core. To be a woman is to see the people around you. To be a man is to assert yourself over others. I've tried to form a more nuanced view of gender over the years, and I can't say that the results I've found are universal, but for me, this is the cognitive part of the decision I've made, all of it. The LGBT community tries to make the point that none of these labels are a choice, but I think maybe we are at the point where we should respect that there is a level where they are. There is a choice that you should respect. You can either be absolutely fucking miserable for no reason at all, or you can do what you have to be a complete person. So I'm female and always have been, and to me, that means I respond to my environment. I feel shame. I feel so much shame. What am I even doing? Why did I stop making jokes? Why am I here? Oh, Jesus, I'm dying. I can't breathe. Why couldn't I just get used to being oblivious and self-aggrandizing? Why can't I say aggrandizing? Why couldn't I have just been happy jerking off all over everything? A woman can be confident, too. But a woman's confidence comes from something. She's fixed something. She's made something. She's helped someone. This shouldn't have anything to do with gender, but it does. This is what I'm saying with my confusing trans face as soon as I walk into a room. I adjust to things. I make decisions. I am not afraid to act when something is wrong. I'm afraid of everything else because I'm aware of everything else. I'm overwhelmed, but I'm trying. God help me, I'm trying. I haven't fixed anything. I haven't made anything or helped anyone, but I'm going to. Until then, I am nothing. All right, thank you, Detroit. I'm nothing. You've been great. Enjoy the bar, you only live once. You'd think that YOLO would be a reason to make good decisions, but what do you know? All right, you're beautiful. I'm nothing. I'm dying. Thank you, I'm dead. I'm just going through motions now. Thank you, thank you. Where are all my hecklers at? It would really be a comfort now, please. Oh God, please, this is all just so fake. I just want to be honest. Oh God, this is my last chance.
Tales of Insecurity is copyright 2018, Leah Lindsay Chen, all rights reserved. Just hit her up on Twitter at No Hope Radio or at talesofinsecurity@gmail.com. There surely is something else I need to say here. Oh well. have a great day. I love you. I love you. Goodbye.